VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Jim Schneider with you here, coming to you live from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Dallas, Texas.
Go ahead, Jim.
We are attending the convention here, and yet there are serious matters that are going on in Washington, D.C. As a matter of fact, right this very moment, the United States Senate is on the floor going through today's agenda. On the agenda today is the so-called For the People Act, and this is to what they're calling to expand Americans' access to the ballot box, reduce the influence of big money and pop.
Losing you, Jim. Jim, we've lost you.
Stand by. We're trying to reconnect. Stand by, please, as we try to reconnect with Jim. We also have Matt Staver on the line. Matt, maybe you can help us set the scene as we try to reconnect with Jim.
Right now, live at NRB in Dallas, Texas, and I'm in the Florida office of Liberty Council. So let me go ahead and pick up where Jim was leaving off. And the bottom line is today, as Jim was saying, in the United States Senate, there will be a vote sometime today or into the late evening on the so-called For the People Act. It's H.R. 1. It made a change in the words or letters to S-1. Now it's S-23. So I'll just refer to it as H.R. 1. That's the common way to understand what we're talking about. H.R. 1 or S-2093. What are they going to do? Last week, Thursday, Senator Schumer invoked what is called the cloture bill or the cloture rule, and that sets up a period of time where they end up then voting, which is what they're going to do today, to end debate. It begins the debate, and then this will end the debate. But in order to end the debate, they have to have the 60 votes to overcome the filibuster. They don't have the 60 votes. So what's going to happen is they will try to vote to end the debate. There will be some discussion, no doubt. There'll be a vote. Likely, I predict, they obviously will not be able to get the 60 votes to end the debate. We'll have to see what the outcome of this vote is this evening. So what will happen? Then things will intensify. It's far from over. Because then what will happen is incredible additional pressure will be placed on all the Democratic senators, and especially Joe Manchin, to bring in his so-called compromises. He's given a list of these compromises that he would support. That will begin the pressure to go into this compromise direction. But don't be fooled by the word compromises. The word compromises really are not compromises at all. John Lewis Act of 2020, or the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, as it's referred to. It failed. The Democrats tried to push that last year. They named it posthumously after John Lewis, and they wanted to push this election-stealing bill last year. That failed. So where Manchin got his compromises, quote-unquote, is from the John Lewis Voting Rights Act that failed in 2020. Now, the essential essence of that act would require what's called free clearance for the state elections. Now, what does that mean? That means that the federal government would have a veto over every one of the state's election laws and election procedures with regards to, particularly at least, the federal elections, and even on other elections as well. What does that mean? That means that, say, for example, Georgia wants to pass a law that requires voter ID. Florida just passed a similar law. Arizona wants to do the hand recounts, and others want to do an audit. Texas is moving forward to pass election reform. Other states are passing election reform. In order for those to actually be implemented, you have to get permission from the federal government through the Department of Justice. And certainly under the Biden administration, that Department of Justice will say, well, no, you can't have voter ID because that intimidates the voters. And you can't have these other aspects of recounts or audits, because that's going to intimidate the voters.
Matt, and I think this is something that's really important to point out, is that all of these states that have voter ID laws, that these laws are just going to be null and void.
Right.
I mean, we have to have voter ID. We have to have photo ID to check out a library book, to do all kinds of things, to get some types of medicine over the counter at the pharmacy. And when we talk about the integrity, we have to show photo ID when we go to a will call window at a baseball stadium to pick up our tickets there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, you have to have a voter ID for, yeah, like you said, just to go check out a library book. But under H.R. 1, S-2093, no voter ID is allowed. So now if they don't get enough votes to move forward with H.R. 1, the voter fraud bill, as I call it, that would actually steal elections, then they'll have the so-called, quote, Manchin compromises. Well, the Manchin compromises don't do anything to really solve the problems with this terrible bill. In fact, like I said, it comes from the John Lewis Voting Rights Act that failed last year that the Democrats were pushing. And it requires this preclearance, so that what that would mean is the Attorney General, the Department of Justice, to Georgia's law, you know exactly what they would do. Georgia passed the voter ID requirement, and they would say, oh, no, that is a violation of the federal law, and we're not going to approve that. So that means that Georgia, if they want to have an election, would have to do what H.R. 1 was requiring them to do if it passed, and that is not have voter ID.
It's just ridiculous. And, Matt, there are so many other tentacles to this thing, too, like it's going to mandate every state to do early voting, and also it's going to demand that every state have a nationwide same-day voter registration. So people could actually go to individual sites in his own community, register to vote, actually cast votes before it's even determined to be fraudulent.
That's exactly right. So, you know, really, at the end of the day, we're still talking about H.R. 1.
Yes.
No matter whether you call it H.R. 1 or the new number S-2093 or the Manchin Compromises or the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, it doesn't matter what name you put on that pig. It's still a pig. Doesn't matter what the lipstick is on it, no matter what the name is on that pig, it's still a pig at the end of the day. And so let's talk about what's in the H.R. 1, and that's exactly what you're talking about, and that's exactly what you're going to get.
And as Matt is talking, he's going to tell us more about this H.R. 1. Folks, you can refer to it as the For the People Act, because every one of these is calling it For the People Act. And we bring this to your attention today because as we speak, your U.S. senators are on the floor. They're going through their agenda. They know that this is on the agenda for today. And as Matt is stating, that as this very well may go up in flames as we know it, that the Manchin so-called compromise bill is going to be next on the docket for them to pass. And you cannot be fooled by what's going on in Congress right now, folks, the U.S. Senate. And let me just give you the Senate number, which is 202-224-3121, to get word to your two U.S. senators, 202-224-3121. Matt, tell us more about the bill.
Yeah, the bill, as you mentioned, it would say that you can't have voter ID, that you'll register people 16 years and up, and that includes people, not just citizens. So you're not just looking at citizens, meaning that you got 2 million people coming across the southern border at least this year alone. They're going to get voter registration. They're going to have mass mailing. If you get like a mass mailer in your mailbox, that's what is going to happen with the ballots as well. Whether you select it, whether you ask for it or not, everyone's going to get a mass mailing of a mail-in ballot. Well, what does that do? Well, there are people that are dead. They've left the state. They've just arrived, and they got some mail from a previous occupant, and they're going to get these ballots. So what do they do with them? Well, they might throw them away, but what they might also do is actually fill them out and vote illegally. Now, when under this bill you challenge the validity of that ballot, you're subject to up to 5 years in jail and a $100,000 fine. All the mail-in ballots, no matter how odd they look, no matter how improper they appear, are presumed to be valid under the law. And there's also a 6-to-1 payment. So if you raise you know, for every dollar you raise, if you will, that's under $200, you're going to get that multiplied times six. So any contribution that you get under $200, so you get a $200 contribution, now what's going to happen is you have your $200 contribution as a candidate. Now the federal government's going to give you six times $200, $1,200. Wow. So your $200 now becomes $1,400. Your $100 million becomes $600 million. And you remember the race with Senator Graham and the other Democrat challenger. The Democrat challenger raised around $130 million. So now multiply that times six, and that's how much money would come from the federal government.
And then, who is the federal government, Matt? That's our pocketbooks. That's our tax
exactly
dollars.
Right. That's our pocketbooks. Now, they say, well, it'll come from fines and fees, but there's not enough fines and fees to pay this kind of money to these senator candidates. And we're just looking at the Senate. If you look at a six-year race, a six-year term, between running for office and then being in office for 6 years, and they're raising money every quarter, for one senator, that's $1.8 billion, with a B, dollars that would come from the federal treasury, from the American people, per senator. Multiply that times 100, and then go over to the House and multiply that times every member of the House, because they also are covered by this as well. It's a political welfare bill, and that's what they're using right now to bribe people. It's a huge carrot. Don't vote against this, because if you do, you're throwing away six times your fundraising capabilities.
Right, right. Folks, Matt Staver's talking here today about this dangerous piece of legislation that is making its way through the U.S. Senate. It's already passed the House of Representatives, and every Republican voted in opposition to it in the House of Representatives. Only one Democrat voted against it, joining the Republicans. All other Democrats voted for this. And, Matt, this is a piece of legislation that Biden called his party's trophy legislation, and he called it that for a reason.
Yeah, because this is their signature piece of legislation. One of the things that I want very clear to make known, do not be fooled by the fact that this bill will not necessarily get a favorable vote today, by the end of the day. Don't think that the battle is over. This is their signature piece of legislation. This is the Democratic Party's singular piece of legislation they want to pass, in addition to H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act. That's also number two. But this is number one, because this literally will stop the recounts, stop the audits, overturn all the states that are passing election reform. In fact, the Secretary of State, the Democratic Secretary of State for Arizona, did an op-ed in the newspaper over the weekend, over last week, pleading with the Senate to pass this For the People Act to stop her own state from the audits and the election reform. She doesn't want people to get to the bottom of 2020, and she doesn't want to have fair and free elections. She wants the federal government to intervene and stop her state and all the other states from these election reform efforts.
Folks, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Matt Staver is with us today as we talk about this federal threatening takeover of the elections. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has it finally happened? Can computers outthink humans?
No, they can't, Chris. Now, they can outperform humans on some difficult tasks, but they're not really thinking. For instance, calculators can do mathematical manipulations much more quickly and accurately than humans. But keep in mind, they were designed by humans and programmed to do these various tasks. They're not thinking, they're just doing the things they were designed to do. No, Chris, machines can't actually think, nor do they exercise real judgment. This is reserved for mankind, created in the image of God, just like it says back in Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
listening to Crosstalk on BCY America. Jim Schneider with you today. I'm broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas, from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. That's why our quality here is on phone line here today, but this urgent matter came up. The For the People Act that is on the Senate calendar for today, they are on the floor as we speak. Just a reminder that you can reach your two U.S. senators at 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Doesn't matter if they have an R behind their name or a D behind their name. They need to hear from the people across this nation. To get specific numbers directly to their office, you can go to senate.gov. You'll find information there. Again, that is senate.gov. Now, folks, keep in mind that this would give the federal, this is a Fed takeover of the election, and they are threatening that even with this piece of legislation. Before we talk further about this, I want you to understand how this is viewed through the eyes of Nancy Pelosi. Last week we ran the program and we mentioned talking about gun control and the efforts that are being made for gun control. Last week at her press conference, Nancy Pelosi indicated that we need to pass H.R. 1 because it'll make it easier than to pass gun control. It's going to be easier to pass all of their agenda. Matt talked about H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act, how that's going to be important. Now let's listen to this clip from Nancy Pelosi. We're going to have Matt come back and respond to what she had to say.
Today, again, also marks 6 years since the racist attack on Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston. This all comes down to the gun violence issue. And as we keep saying, we are not going away until we pass legislation to stop gun violence. And we will have a better chance to do it if we pass H.R. 1. Clearly, the Republicans in Congress are handmaidens of the gun industry. And they have prevented us from passing. And although it's bipartisan, it's not enough for us to pass it in the Senate. So, again, the For the People Act is really important for many reasons, including the personal safety of America's families and children.
You know, this is really interesting because here we have H.R. 1 that's dealing with reforming our elections. But, Matt, she is saying this is necessary to have. It's going to be easier to pass gun control. It's going to be easier to pass their other agenda. They see this as a critical piece of legislation. But one natural person would ask, what does H.R. 1 on reforming elections have to do with gun control? They are very well connected together, are they not?
They're very well connected. And, Jim, that quote that you just played is very telling. So what does she mean? What she means is that we will never have a honest or a conservative or a Republican elected to office again. So all of these people will be literally trickling out, and they're going to be replaced by who? Democrats, because that's why they want to have this done. This really favors the Democrats. This really is putting one party in power forever. And that's what H.R. 1 or For the People Act, as it's called, that's what it really is all about. It's not about having free and fair elections. No, it's about stopping voter ID. It's about mailing ballots to every person, whether they're a citizen or not. It's about preventing states from cooperating with one another to determine whether or not there's been double voting. You know, the northern states are cooperating with the southern states or the different places where people go during the winter. And sometimes they either unintentionally and sometimes intentionally double vote in their home state and in their vacationing state. That would stop under this For the People Act. And what ultimately would happen? Well, what we saw happen in 2020 would be exponentially worse for future elections.
Yeah.
In other words, we'd never have somebody that's of the Republican Party, somebody who's conservative, somebody who's going to be running an honest election ever win again. We're going to have ballot harvesting that will be completely expanded. And here's the problem. You get a ballot that comes in, a mail-in ballot that comes in, and you think you've seen that same name before, or it's not filled out right. Well, you can't challenge that ballot. What do? You stick it in the big pot of votes,
mm-hmm.
and you can only challenge it after. But you can't find it after because it's all mixed in with all the legal ballots.
They have
so
to count ballots up to 10 days after the election itself, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, this rigs the elections. So, you know, what Nancy Pelosi just said, sometimes she speaks what's running around in her head, and she doesn't realize what she's saying, but she's very clear about what she means. Pass this For the People Act, and we'll never have a problem again as Democrats, because we can pass whatever we want to, whether it's gun restrictions or whatever it may be, you know, LGBTQ, abortion, you name it, they'll pass it.
Matt, I understand that there's another aspect to this, too, in that there are in H.R. 1, this For the People Act, it even threatens jail time and fines election officials or volunteers who question the legitimacy of a voter, even question over mass mail ballots. If you question jail time, financial threats waiting for the person making the accusations.
Yeah, that's right. 5 years in jail and up to a $100,000 fine. And that's if you're a poll watcher, that's a volunteer, or an election official. So somebody comes to you and the polls close at 7 o'clock, and they arrive at 6:59, and they're able to now register for the very first time. But you can't tell whether they live in the state. You may have no idea of identifying this person, because obviously under these bills there would be no voter ID anyway. But the person really is suspicious, but you can't challenge the validity of that voter, and you have to register them even though you have high suspicions that this is an illegal voter, not legitimate, may not even live in the state, may not even be a U.S. citizen. If you do, you're facing 5 years in jail and a $100,000 fine. You get a mail-in ballot. Those mail-in ballots are presumed under this bill to be valid, but you look at it, and it's only partially filled out, and it's incorrectly filled out. Or, you know, the lots of things just don't match with regards to the address.
Mm-hmm.
You can't challenge that particular ballot. You have to count it, stick it in the big pool of votes, and then somebody's going to have to try to figure it out later, but you're never going to be able to do it. And if you try to be an honest person, if you're trying to say, work with the state and say, did this person vote in Wisconsin? Because now they're voting in Florida, and it looks like they're a double voter. Or this person seems to be running a pattern. They're voting precinct to precinct to precinct to precinct. They're voting on the edge of Florida. They're running over to Louisiana, up to Alabama, to Georgia. They're coming back and having dinner in Florida in the evening, and they're voting in all these different states. There's something going on here. You're not even going to raise the question, because you don't want to go to jail for 5 years and pay a $100,000 fine.
No, and then, folks, this is getting worse as time goes on. Keep in mind that S1 over HR1, S1 was 817 pages, 26 pages longer than HR1. Then this new S2093 came about. This one is 888 pages. Now it's 97 pages longer than HR1 in this so-called expansion of America's access to the ballot box. And, Matt, as I was looking through this S-2093, it's still called For the People Act, but they are taking parts of other pieces of legislation, other bills, other parts of the agenda that they have wanted to get through, merging them into this new S-2093, still calling it the For the People Act, and they're compounding the impact of what this legislation is going to do with all other pet projects that are part of their agenda.
Yeah, and so, you know, you think that they're compromising. They're not compromising.
No.
Don't ever underestimate their intensity and their deviousness to literally steal elections. Their goal is to silence any opposition to their agenda permanently. And so, yes, I don't think the bill will have enough votes to proceed with further voting on it, but this is far from over. So we cannot relax. We cannot have a sigh of relief. We have to intensify our efforts, and we have to say no to the For the People Act. And whatever compromises that they, and I put that in quotes, want to throw in there, I mean, how do you have compromises when you're actually making the bill fatter? That sounds like they're making the bill worse.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And friends, again, your senators can be reached at 202-224-3121. Your two U.S. senators, 202-224-3121. You may also go to senate.gov to get their direct phone numbers. But keep in mind, they are on the floor right now. It is their 77th order of business for today. And as Matt said, they're not going to hit that magic number that they need. But guess what? That is just impetus for them to bring about their declaration of a so-called compromise in order, in my opinion, to fool the American people. But folks, you are informed. Don't be fooled by the shenanigans that are going on as they are seeking to represent you, so-called. Matt, we know that this is all tying into the passage of H.R. 5. This is all part of wanting to kill the filibuster. I mean, every liberal piece of legislation, even as we talk about this infrastructure bill, Matt, I mean, this whole infrastructure bill that they're wanting to have passed on the same means, and they're talking about a compromise bill there too, but it is filled with putting in all this language about dealing with so-called global climate change. And it is, again, another piece of legislation misnamed, but they're all on track to swallow up this entire agenda. But this H.R. is so critical for them to pass first.
Yeah, H.R. 1 is their linchpin, and that's why Biden said that this is the key piece of legislation of the administration of the Democratic Party. This is their linchpin, because if they can get this, then they'll never have to worry about elections again. They'll never have to worry about elections, and they'll have supermajority power in the Senate and the House, and whatever they want, whether it's gun controls and essentially trying to override the Second Amendment with burdensome legislation, whether it's religious freedom, revoking the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, imposing LGBTQ, imposing abortion, funding abortion, causing religious organizations to fund abortion, you know, whether it's climate change where they shut down the country, or whether it's other kinds of restrictions they want to impose, like they imposed like the states imposed with regards to COVID, you know, and they want to shut down, you know, the states again, and they want to do that on a federal level. It doesn't matter what it is. Having open borders, destroying our national security, whatever it may be, you know, destabilizing the Middle East, it's all their power. You know, if they wanted to have a guaranteed income, which I think is what they're trying to do right now,
yes,
a socialist, Marxist government, all of that is hanging in the balance, because that's all their agenda. It's hanging in the balance of passing this For the People Act, or H.R. 1.
Matt Staver at Liberty Council has said this through a press release. He said, if the bill passes, America will never again have a free and fair election process. And that's really what it boils down to, Matt.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, at the bottom of our freedom, of any free society, is being able to have free and fair elections where you can vote for somebody of your choice and that person represents you. And if we lose that, we become like a third world banana republic where there's just nonsense going on with the elected leaders, and we lose our freedom, we lose our ability to have a free nation again. So this is really, really core to what's happening. And again, that quote from Nancy Pelosi is very critical. You know, this particular bill,
tell you what, we got to take a break here, Matt. Matt Staver, okay, from Liberty Council. Folks, if you'd like to get online with us, our number 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
From Ray Comfort and Living Waters comes the dramatic film Audacity, tackling a very divisive issue today, homosexuality. Challenged by a co-worker to defend his convictions about homosexuality and same-sex marriage, Peter has to consider if he has the courage to stand for what he believes, even at the risk of losing a friendship. How will he respond when faced with a harrowing life or death experience? Audacity uses a unique approach to address a very contemporary issue and challenges the viewer to reach out and approach the greatest spiritual need everyone faces. Audacity is a 55-minute powerful dramatic film that will impact your life. Get your copy of Audacity for a donation of $5, or 5 copies for a donation of $18, 10 copies for $25 when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Constitutional attorney Matt Staver is with us from Liberty Counsel. Their website, lc.org, lc.org. You'll also find information on their website pertaining to this, lc.org. Friends, we're talking about this federal election takeover, and that's exactly what it is. Feds are threatening the election takeover, and it is on the docket for today, H.R. 1, the For the People Act. Oh, it's going to have different numbers, and they're just encapsulating more and more legislation into this. But, folks, it is, as Liberty Counsel has pointed out, you will never see a free and fair election process if this passes. They have also said this is going to create more opportunities to buy, steal, or cheat in our elections. As what we observed this past November, I tell you, November is going to be just like a simple game of checkers compared to what this is going to do to complicate the voting process and to open the doors for cheating, for mismanagement of votes, for the whole aspect of election integrity. Now, keep in mind, something else is going on here at this point. As all of you have been watching what's going on with the COVID vaccination, you've got states right now that are giving incentives. You can win the lottery if you get the COVID. Here you can get free sports tickets. Washington State did the whole joints for jabs. You get a free marijuana joint if you get the jab, on and on. They try to incentivize this. Now, that's what's going on with this legislation, too. When they talk about compromise, what they'll put other things in, Matt, in order to, in essence, buy a vote from a senator, making it such that they cannot refuse it, because if they would refuse a huge amount of money to their district, their local papers will say how their senator, you know, lost these millions of dollars for their district. So there's a lot of incentivizing or bribery that's going on in order to woo legislators to come over to their point of view.
No, that's exactly right. There's the 6-to-1 federal dollars that would go to the candidates, incumbents or candidates running for office, and that would make a $600 million $100 million campaign, $700 million by adding $600 million to it. So there's a personal gain there. There's also going to be these incentives where they want to put in spending that would ultimately be used for two purposes. One, to incentivize the senator to vote for this bill. And number two, to have some kind of spending so they can say, well, this is part of the budget, and therefore we can push it through the budget reconciliation. Now, why is that important? Because budget reconciliation or votes on the budget are not subject to the 60-vote filibuster rule. So in order to get that 50th vote, they'll have the 51st vote with the VP's breaking of the tie, and that then gives them the 51 votes to try to push this through the budget reconciliation. And so budget reconciliation is going on right now, and so they're going to be putting more and more pork in this to bring over senators and say, look, if you vote against this, look how many hundreds and hundreds of millions or billions of dollars that you're losing for your district.
Yeah.
And then also the billions of dollars that you would lose for yourself in terms of the reelection. You have a guaranteed way to stay in office here. And also you can bring millions of dollars, hundreds of million dollars to your people. And all you need to do is vote on this bill. That's what they're trying to do. And then in doing so, like I said, they'll try to sneak it in as a spending appendage to the budget reconciliation, which only requires 51 votes.
Folks, these are the issues at stake. Your senators can be reached at 202-224-3121. It's called For the People Act, and it's on the docket for today to be voted on. There's also compromise, so-called legislation dealing with that issue. Do not be fooled. You are informed. Again, that's 202-224-3121. We're going to go to our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Our first caller is from Maquanago, Wisconsin. And Dominique, thank you for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air. Hello, Dominique.
Hello. I wanted to make an observation, but I also wanted to first thank Matt for all you do with alerting everyone. And we sent off more faxes to the whole Senate yesterday, and
thank you.
Appreciate that. One observation I wanted to make when you guys were talking about the extra things that they're going to get out of this is if they're able to pass a compromise for the People Act and the Supreme Court this whole case that Mike Lindell has against Dominion and the voting machines with the foreign intrusion in our elections is never going to be heard, because they're going to, you know, they're going to have a totally different premise for the entire situation. And that is absolutely huge, whether it was Dominion, Smartmatic, Yes and Us. I mean, we definitely had our elections hijacked. So
yeah, I agree. It would stop all of that. You know, there's lots of litigation that's going on right now. There's recounts, there's audits, there's states that have already done or they're working towards passing election reform laws to tighten up the elections. All of this would be undone. It would be overruled by this bill. And the word that just came out, Jim, is that Senator Joe Manchin just spoke in behind closed doors that he will vote in favor of advancing this For the People Act today. He will vote in favor of that, that he and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer have now reached a compromise. And so he will vote in favor. That doesn't mean they've got the 60 votes, but that means that he's now working with Senator Schumer. He's going to vote in favor, and Schumer's going to come out with this, like we said, the, quote, compromise, close quote, which is no compromise at all. It's still a failed system, and we'll never have free elections again. So this battle is really, really heating up. That means if they go down this compromise road, they could likely have that 50th vote, with the 51st vote being the VP, and that's when we're going to have to really stop it from being attached to the budget reconciliation bill.
Dominique, thank you for the call. And folks, let me just mention this. We have people listening in West Virginia today. Your senator is Joe Manchin and certainly needs to hear from you. Joe Manchin's number is 202-224-3954, 202-224-3954. But there's a lot of arm twisting that is going on, and lots of issues going on. And Matt, it's not going to be just this. We're going to see the same thing with HR 5. We're going to see it, you know, with the dealing with the filibuster. We're going to see it with the this infrastructure piece of legislation, dealing with global climate change, and et cetera. But they can attach these to bills that they, you know, they say that do not need the filibuster proof majority to it. It is woe to this nation.
Yeah. They'll either try to override that filibuster, or they'll try to sneak it through on a 51 vote. And they can either do that by attaching it to the budget reconciliation or the budget bill, or once that rule is set aside for the filibuster to vote on the budget, and it's just a 51 vote rule, then they vote on the budget. And it could be late at night, could be early in the morning. Then the Senate floor starts to clear out. There's only a small number of senators there, but it hasn't been gaveled, done for the day. The gavel hasn't sounded to end that day's session. Then somebody from the says, I want to bring up this vote for a voice vote. No objections. It passes with just a small number of people on the floor. So that's why we have to have senators on the floor every second of the day until the gavel sounds at the end of the day, each day, to object to that process.
We're going to go to another phone line here today. Let's go to line number three, Randy from Fayetteville, Arkansas. Randy, thank you for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Oh, I thank you guys. Appreciate all you're doing. Hey, I just wonder what those folks who voted for the candidate from the Democrat Communist Party of America, how they feel today. They're getting just what they promised that they would do when they campaigned. But, you know, I guess the other thought I have is, as much as we hate to see it coming down to this, it's just setting up the end times.
You know, I got in response to the first part of your comment there, I got an email just yesterday, and the person said that they are a lifelong registered Democrat, but they are now embarrassed by the direction of the Democratic Party with regards to values and Judeo-Christian concerns and so forth, that it has become an embarrassment and frankly destructive to our Judeo-Christian values and the survival of the country. So I think there are some people that are starting to rethink and relook at this issue, and perhaps some people that I know voted for the current administration. And that is because, you know, we knew that this was coming, and they should have known. But now that they're in power, you can see this destructiveness, this, frankly, anti-American, anti-faith, anti-freedom mentality.
Thank you for the call here, Randy. We're going to move on to Tom calling from Port Wing, Wisconsin. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to remind everybody that this is the fruit of what happened on January 6th between 8 p.m. and January 7th, 4 a.m., when the Republicans capitulated to the Democrats and did not get their investigation, 10-day investigation or 2-week investigation. And now the total irony of the Democrats, who said it was the freest, fraud-free, cleanest election ever, are now changing the rules on the elections. What hypocrisy they have come forward with.
Yeah, thank you, Tom, for the comment. Let me just say, Matt, in your response, too, I mean, the information that's coming forth now, even on that Capitol incursion on January 6th, there's a lot of questions coming up. Was this Antifa and Black Lives Matter that first were gaining access to the Capitol? I mean, there's a lot of questions. Was the FBI involved in this matter here, too?
Yeah, I know that we had information, intel, before that January 6th that this kind of thing was going to happen, that there were going to be Antifa, Black Lives Matter people dressed up as Trump supporters to cause instigation of this. Obviously, there were other people that were not part of that, that got sucked into it, but I think that, you know, this is being used, and the whole issue that we're going through right now is being used to literally silence one side of the debate, to silence hundreds of millions of people in this country. I should say, you know, at least 150, half of the country. We got a nation of 300 million, and I think more than half are center right. They're not this extremist version of the Democratic Party. Even liberals are not in that extreme area of the current Democratic Party, but it is attempting to silence our voice, to silence our values, and to literally crush us. And we cannot get discouraged, and we cannot stop fighting, because I can tell you what, this battle is intense, and I believe we can win it. I believe that people are starting to see the real intent of where this is all going, and I think people, you're seeing a movement right now, Jim, of moms that are just tired of what's going on, for example, at the school board level, and they're getting involved.
Right, and battling issues like critical race theory and letting their voice be heard. We've been silent too long. Let's go next to line number two. We have Terry calling in from South Carolina. Hi, Terry. You are on the air.
Yes. My question is any of this constitutional?
Good question. Yeah. Well, Article 1, Section 4 of the Constitution does say that Congress can regulate the federal elections. Congress has historically given that to the states. States obviously can regulate state elections, but when it comes to federal elections, the federal Constitution gives Congress that ability to regulate in that area, except in a very minor area. So does Congress have the authority to pass election regulation with regards to the federal elections? Yes. I mean, for example, we have federal election campaign laws. That's passed by Congress because it's authorized by Article 1, Section 4.
We're going to have to butt in right here, right now. We'll be back in a minute, up against a break. This is Crosstalk with Matt Staver. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Revelation 18, verse 23 says, "For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived." What's very fascinating is this is speaking about Babylon, a one-world global system, big government, big business, and spirituality. But it says that the world was deceived by sorcery. The word in the Greek Strong's Concordance for sorcery is pharmakeia, from which we get the word pharmacy. Why would this have to fit with sorcery or witchcraft? Because witchcraft is the worship of nature. What is going on now with COVID? People are being deceived into taking this, and it's largely being pushed by some, as they've openly stated in some of their publications, it could decrease the population of the world. Sorcery or witchcraft or worship of nature and pharmakeia combined, something we should think about.
listening to Crosstalk here on the VCY American Network. Jim Schneider talking to you today. And we were going to have a best of program today. I'm attending the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Dallas, Texas. And when we received word from Liberty Counsel that this H.R. 1 was moving quite rapidly, matter of fact, it's on the floor agenda for today, we made efforts here, even though we're on phone line quality, in order to bring you the program here today with Matt Staver. Just before we go to the phone lines back again, Matt, you've got a wealth of information on your website that listeners can access and really help spread the word about this so-called For the People Act.
Yes, it's lc.org/HR1, lc.org/HR1. That's the original House bill, and we just kept the URL, lc.org/HR1. Lots of information there. You can also fax the senators, sign a petition, and you can also call and call your senators as well.
Great. And a reminder, that phone number is 202-224-3121. That's a Senate switchboard to get your views through to your senators. You may also go to the .gov, look up your individual senator. You'll find the direct office numbers there as well. We're going right back to the phones. Line number three, we have a David calling in from Superior, Wisconsin. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call, Jim. God bless you and Matt both. I have a quick question for Matt, but I do have a quote I want to share. This is on another topic. Matt, do you have a show on at 3 o'clock regarding the vaccine every day this week with a guest?
I do.
Or is that some?
Yeah, for a faith.
It's excellent. We're not going to miss a heartbeat of that, and I suggest everyone listen to it. It's awesome. There's an old saying, too soon old, too late smart. The scripture tells us that we reap a reward if we don't get weary in well-doing. This is not the time for us to be casual as Christians or be talking a lot about the weather and sports when kids are in elementary school pushing back, saying, hey, teacher, you said no politics in school. Get the Black Lives Matter sign off. Get this done, you know, or I'm going to wear a MAGA shirt. We have to really step up and really stand in the gap right now with two main topics, and you guys know what they are better than anybody: the vaccine and this fraudulent Democratic Communist Party. We have to tell everyone.
Well, David, we appreciate the call here today, and I think one of the points, Matt, that you're underscoring today is how critical this bill is. It is part of the infrastructure for the majority party right now to totally undo elections as we know them, the integrity of elections, also to give complete control and power going down the road so that the rest of their agenda can be passed.
Yeah, and David is exactly right in what he said. We cannot just lay back. We cannot think that somebody else is going to do this. Even if you've already sent a fax, signed a petition, or made a call, do it again and do it again and do it again and never, ever, ever give up, because this is the signature legislation. And look, if we lose this, we lose America. It's just as simple as that. If we lose this, we lose America, the children as well. So this is a huge battle that we have to engage, that we have to win, and we have to get involved across the board. You know, we've been silent for too long, and we have to actually engage, and we have to push back. I'm seeing good positive signs that that's actually happening, and we just need to continue the momentum.
Let's go back to the phone lines here. We've got Marianne calling next, line number four. Hi, Marianne. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for taking my call, and you too, Matt. I called Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin, my senators from Wisconsin. I left a message for both of them a little bit different because they're different people. But I basically told them, and I encourage people to call their senators and tell them that this should actually be renamed as the Destruction of the Constitution of the American People Act. And that's exactly what it is. I told Ron Johnson how proud I was, how glad I am to see him on YouTube and other places too, when he is fighting so strongly, like a Christian does, fighting the good fight to the end. And I get so encouraged when I see him.
Ron Johnson has actually come forth and issued a statement against this legislation. I mean, he has taken a very strong stand in opposition to it, but he has got a lot of opposition and pressure against him as a result. And so it's good, again, whether there's an R or D behind their name, to be sure that you are reaching out Let me just quickly share this statement that he put out just earlier today. He said, the For the People Act is another Orwellian name bill that has nothing to do with voting rights, but everything to do with consolidating Democrat control over government and our lives. Republicans want to restore confidence in our elections by making it easy to vote, but hard to cheat. It seems like Democrats primarily want to make it easier to cheat. Why else would they propose eliminating voter ID laws, require ballot harvesting and drop boxes, make the FEC a partisan agency, and make it harder to maintain accurate voter files? It would also force taxpayers to help fund the campaigns of candidates that they oppose. An accurate name for this monstrosity would be the Four Democrat Politicians Act. End of statement, Ron Johnson, Matt Staver.
Well, I mean, he's very good, and he's very right on. I was just on a conference call about, maybe less than 2 weeks ago with Senator Ron Johnson, and he was very concerned about the COVID shots and getting information out there, and it was right after that that Twitter, you know, censored him. But he's trying to get information about what's really happening with the COVID shots. He is very much opposed to the so-called For the People Act. We need more people like that in Congress. And here's the thing. We're not going to have a Ron Johnson in Congress. We're not going to have some of these other strong voices in Congress if this bill passes. And that's why Pelosi says, if we get this passed, then we can do anything else we want.
Let's see if we can squeeze in Merle from Tennessee, line number 3. Merle, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim and Matt, this is no longer about affecting our grandkids. This is about us. This is happening right in front of our nose.
Yeah.
And I really believe if the Democratic Communistic Party has its way, I believe within 10 years, true Christianity will be outlawed in America. I'm talking about true Christianity. And I believe that is when the revival is going to hit, because we may be forced underground. Those that are displaying church will run for the hills. And those that really love Jesus, that are really going after him, will be forced underground. And this is some kind of time to live in, I tell you, brothers.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we saw that during the COVID lockdowns, and what did they target? They targeted the churches, and
yeah,
it was these Democratic-controlled governor, the states with the Democratic governors that did the worst restrictions. New York, you know, New York, California, and many others,
yep,
as well.
Yeah, all over the place. We are out of time. Going to have to leave it there today. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Council. Again, check out their site, lc.org/HR1. You can contact your senators, 202-224-3121. Matt, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be with you.
And folks, thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.